The Lord Jesus Christ is a great one for turning the tables. He did it, literally, of course, not once but twice in the temple, once early in his ministry and once late in his ministry, when the place had been turned into a common market with the stalls and the tables of the money changers and all these different things that had no business in the house of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ turned them over and cast them out. But the Lord Jesus Christ turns the tables in many other ways as well. One of which, very startlingly, is before us for our gospel message this morning, the third of this quartet of messages under the overall title of Meeting Jesus, different encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ that a variety of people had and that are recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke. We had two parables in the reading, the parable of the unjust judge and the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. But our text is taken from the little cameo, the little event, which was recorded at the end of this passage. Let me read again in Luke 18 from verse 15. And they brought unto him, unto Jesus, also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. The scene here, dear friends, is a familiar one to us, isn't it? From the Gospels. It's not difficult for us to picture it in our mind's eye. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ in the course of one of the days of his earthly ministry, and as so often he was accompanied by his disciples. And at this point of this particular day, he was approached by parents with their infants. That would include the very tiny ones, and then the not quite so tiny ones, but still under the general title of infants. And they were bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ that he would bless them. But the disciples thought it was neither the time nor the place for this. It's not for us this morning to be hard on the disciples. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they felt that it was the end of a long and a busy day, and the Lord Jesus Christ had had enough to do and could manage without being troubled by a whole company of parents and little ones to extend his day. We'll put that kinder construction on it, shall we? Rather than start laying in to the disciples for being impatient or whatever. But the Lord Jesus Christ turned the tables upon the disciples, whose great concern to protect the Lord Jesus was to send these away along the lines of not now, not today, another time maybe. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he turned the tables. He turned the thing entirely around. The disciples rebuked the parents who were coming with the children, but the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the disciples for rebuking the parents with the children. And the Lord Jesus, rather, he called these folk to himself, the parents with the children. He called them unto him. Far from telling them to go away from him, he called them unto him. He invited them to come close. And he said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he added the words which provide our text this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse 17. Luke 18, 17. And these sweet words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter it. That is to say, as Jesus spoke to the disciples and told them straight and laid it on the line to them, this thinking of yours that these little ones are too young for them to need me, too young for me to have desires of grace towards them, such thinking is quite wrong. It's as if he was saying something along these lines, you see, to the disciples. You seem to think that where receiving the kingdom of God is concerned, the child must first grow up into the man. The truth is actually the reverse. Rather than a child needing to wait until he grows up to be a man, if he or she is ever to enter into the kingdom of God, rather it's the man who must grow down and become a little child. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. That is straight gospel talk. Do you follow? Let me put it this way to you. The difficulty for the sinner is not that the child is not like the man, but that the man is not and has not the slightest wish to be like the child. On another occasion in his ministry, recorded by Matthew in his gospel, the Lord Jesus, speaking along the same lines as our text, says this, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Does it all seem something of a riddle? Well, let us seek help from the Holy Spirit to unravel the riddle together. The title of the message is Receiving the Kingdom of God. Receiving the Kingdom of God. And there are three things, and here's the first. There is a kingdom for us to receive. It's not every day we're offered a kingdom. But there is one offered here in the gospel this morning. There is a kingdom for us to receive. And what is it? It is here in our text, the kingdom of God. Or in those words of Jesus from Matthew that I just quoted, the kingdom of heaven. The two are well interchangeable. Don't think of them as two separate, distinct things. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. But what is it? The kingdom of God. What is it? Well, fundamentally, throughout Scripture, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, speaks of the rule of God, the kingship of God, the sovereignty of God, owned and acknowledged in our hearts and over our lives. Of course, it's not a political kingdom, it's not an economic kingdom, it's not a military kingdom. Far from it. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is a divine kingdom. Ultimately, it is a heavenly kingdom. Moreover, it's not a temporary kingdom like the kingdoms of the world. Here today, gone tomorrow, even if some of the todays are long before the tomorrow comes when they disappear. It is rather an eternal, an everlasting kingdom, which endures forever. And then this phrase, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it goes on, in terms of its meaning, it goes on to include the sense of all the blessings of the kingdom. The chiefest of which, of course, is complete salvation, full and free, as the gift of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for sinners. God's rule, God's kingship, God's authority, God's sovereignty in our hearts, over our lives, as those who by grace have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Mark, at the beginning of his gospel, teaches us that the very first note of the Lord Jesus Christ's public preaching ministry pertained to the kingdom. We read early on in Mark's gospel that after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, the turning from sin and the seeking God's face for mercy in sorrow and confession. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Notice, dear friends, how in our text the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in highly personal terms of both of these things, receiving the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God. "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." He speaks of receiving the kingdom. He speaks of entering the kingdom. And this receiving the kingdom, this entering the kingdom, it amounts to being saved from our sins. It amounts to being born again. It amounts to being a Christian. There's something very mysterious, but also something very precious here, if we can but catch it. And this only, in a sense, makes the riddle sound even more of a riddle. But hear me. We receive and we enter the kingdom of God by the kingdom of God receiving and entering us. He receives us, we receive him. We belong to the Lord, he belongs to us. And there's nothing more urgent or important in all the world than receiving the kingdom of God, entering the kingdom of God. So let me, at this point in the message, ask you straight out, is this yet, dear friend, a settled matter with you? Have you received the kingdom of God? Have you entered the kingdom of God? Do you belong to the kingdom of heaven? Are you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Are you or aren't you? Which is it? I ask you again, is it with you a settled matter yet? Or is it a dubious matter, a doubtful matter, an uncertain matter? Or if you're going to be frank with me, is it a matter that you don't have a care about and you don't give a fig concerning? It's just that you come to church. There is a kingdom for us to receive. It's the kingdom of God, no less than that. The very kingdom of heaven. What's the second thing? Well, it's this. There is a way for us to receive this kingdom. There is a way for us to receive this kingdom. And it's not a way that we're left to select or decide upon for ourselves, as if to say, well, you know, I'll enter the kingdom of God my way and you enter the kingdom of God your way and we'll see who gets there first or which way works better. Forget anything like that. We're not presented with a selection of equally valid options, such as the old Yorkshire phrase goes, you pays your money and you takes your choice. It's not like that at all. There is only one way, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the King of this kingdom, tells us what it is. You note that our verse begins with that word, verily, a word which means assuredly, truthfully. We could almost render it in a slightly amplified way, which gives the sense, well, make no mistake about it. Verily, Jesus says, in all seriousness, in all truth, Jesus says, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter it. And that phrase, in no wise, maybe not a phrase that we use every day of the week ourselves, but it's a familiar Bible phrase, in no wise. It means certainly not. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall most certainly not enter into it. Will without question not enter into it. Will not under any circumstances enter it. This is the way, you see, appointed by the King of the kingdom for us poor sinners to receive the kingdom of God. Namely, as a little child. As a little child. So then, what is this? As a little child. What is this spirit? What is this frame? What is this attitude? What is this manner of which the Saviour speaks? Which is absolutely necessary, essential to salvation. How is any one of us sinners here this morning ever to receive and enter the kingdom of God? Well, as a little child, yes, but how is that? What's it like as a little child? Well, let me describe it to you in a brief series of single words. To receive the kingdom of God as a little child is first of all to receive it humbly. Humbly. Putting aside all pride, whatever sort of pride it might be. Pride of intellect. Pride of achievements. Pride of prospects. Pride of reputation. Pride of merits, any sort of pride, you name it, there is no room for it in the kingdom of God. Man's nature left to himself is always, isn't it, to exalt himself and to demean God. Self up, God down. But receiving the kingdom of God as a little child is the entire opposite of that. It's God exalted, self brought low. In his own estimation, man is up, God is down. But there's no receiving the kingdom of God that way. It's got to be the other way round. We must humble ourselves and become as little children. Our testimony must be, as that of one of old, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply, to thy cross I cling. Or in the words of another, I am not worthy, holy Lord, that I should come to thee. Remember, And we've got it in the Old Testament and the New Testament, so that if we miss it in the one, it'll catch us in the other. God opposes, who does he oppose? The proud. And he gives grace to, who does he give grace to? The humble. So we must receive it humbly. Then, secondly, if we would receive the kingdom as a little child, we must receive it teachably. Teachably. Not questioning the way Jesus has prescribed. I would prefer it to be something else. Not raising objections to it. Not proposing amendments to it. Not coming as a know-all, but ready to sit at the Saviour's feet to be instructed by him, to hear the terms of the gospel call to repent of sin and to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And to recognize that the Lord Jesus' invitation to the sinner, whereby he says to you and to me, come unto me, is an invitation all and entirely of his grace and mercy and love. We are to be satisfied with God's wisdom in his provision of a Saviour in the way that he has provided him. Incarnate, living, crucified, buried, risen, ascended, glorified, and one day coming again. We are to believe the truth of the gospel and not to smooth off any jagged edges that we might feel that it has that don't appeal too much to us. We are to be finding it to be good news indeed, none better. We are to receive it teachably. In the third place, receiving the kingdom of God as a little child means we are to receive it needily. Needily. Babies, infants, children can be great at crying. So must the sinner cry to God. Just think back to the second of the two parables which preceded this little event that we're looking at this morning. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican. What an utter difference between these two men. There was the Pharisee. He was full of himself. He was, to use a couple of English phrases, he was the sort who considered himself to be the cat's whiskers and the bee's knees all rolled into one. So far as he was concerned, he was the one. He prayed with himself. He didn't have fellowship with God in his prayer at all. It wasn't a prayer that got to heaven. At the end of the day, he prayed with himself. And he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. They're all extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers. And I particularly thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that nasty little publican over there in the corner. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And that prayer got nowhere. But the publican, standing afar off, not feeling he could even as much as lift up his eyes to heaven, smote upon his breast. And his prayer was so very different. He prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or strictly literally, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that prayer ascended heavenwards and was sweetly heard and received. He came needily, sinful, sighing to be blessed, bound and longing to be free, weary, waiting for my rest. God, be merciful to me. That's receiving the kingdom of God as a little child. As in the fourth place, is freely. We must receive it freely. Not as something that we deserve, not as something that we can purchase, not as something that we can make some sort of contribution to. Man forever feels in the things of religion and so on, he's got to make his own wretched, miserable contribution. He's got to do his own lousy bit. But the kingdom of God is received freely, friends, or it's not received at all. You receive it as the free gift of God, salvation, or you go without it. You do. It's the free gift of God. Every child loves to be given a gift, don't we all? You don't stop loving to receive a gift once you're no longer a children. We adults are partial to a gift as well, aren't we? We never grow out of it. Well, the kingdom of God is a gift. It is a supreme gift. It is to be received. You receive the gift. Salvation is a gift. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of God to sinners. Pardon for sin, peace with God, blessings eternal, adoption into God's family. These are the blessings of God, the gifts of God, to be received eternal life, the gift of God, heaven, the gift of God. Again, receiving as a little child means receiving trustingly. There can be something very trusting about children, especially, of course, where their parents and their grandparents are concerned. They trust them. Of course, if they're trusting towards the wrong people, and there are some tragic instances of this regularly in the news, aren't they? If they're trusting the wrong people, those who are untrustworthy, of course, the children can end up in very great danger. But it is of the nature of the child to be trusting, especially amongst those whom they know love them and care for them and keep them safe. And there is none like the Lord God to be trusted. He is utterly trustworthy. He is true. He is faithful, and he never leaves or forsakes his own. And so you see, receiving the kingdom of God as a little child, it's trusting the trustworthy one. It's trusting the faithful one. It's trusting the dependable one. It's trusting the unchanging one. And there's nowhere you can be safer than that. But then again, we've reached number six. It involves wonderingly. That's the sixth word, wonderingly. Again, sometimes we've seen wonderment in the eyes of a child. Again, when they've been given a gift and they've seen what it is, perhaps something they'd always wanted. Something amazing, something unusual, something spectacular. Their eyes light up, don't they? Their little faces are captivated. And if you would come as a sinner to Jesus, if you would receive the kingdom of God as a little child, then you must do so wonderingly, with wonderment, with amazement. Somebody put it like this. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. Have you ever really, my dear friend, been overwhelmed with wonderment at the love of God towards you, the sinner? And one more word, number seven. We are to receive it thankfully, if we would receive it as a little child. The psalmist is full of thankfulness, isn't he? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The apostle Paul is of like manner. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Back to the psalmist. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? So if we would receive the kingdom of God as a little child, we are to receive it, let us just review, humbly, teachably, needily, freely, trustingly, wonderingly, thankfully. Don't think in all this that I'm meaning to imply that children are innocent and perfect. We weren't when we were children, were we? And neither are those who are children now. But nonetheless, there are certain things which may be said to be characteristic of children, these things we've been looking at. Marks, and don't get these muddled up, marks not of childishness, but of childlikeness. And they're very different. And it's these marks of child likeness, which surely are some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind when he says here, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." And of course, you see, the children were present when the Lord Jesus Christ said that. And I want to say particularly to you, dear children, and younger people who are here this morning, and it's so lovely to see you, my dear young friends. Don't think that you've got to be a certain age before you can become a Christian, before you can know anything of the love of Christ, before you can belong to the kingdom of God. There are a number of instances in Scripture of people who became true believers early on in life. Samuel is one. Timothy is another, with his godly mother and his godly grandmother who brought him up in the things of Christ. A man called Obadiah, not the one with a prophecy named after him, but a fellow around in the days of Elijah, who said to Elijah, "I have feared the Lord God from my youth." And listen to this, you youngsters, you listen to this especially, if you will. What do you think of this testimony? "I would rather have the grace and love of Christ than anything in the world. I would rather have the grace and love of Christ than anything in the world." Those words were spoken by a girl called Mary, with whom the Lord began to take a spiritual dealing when she was between the ages of 4 and 5. And she died when she was about 12. Well, what about this? Because there was a time when many, many, many children died young. Sadly, some still do, of course. But there was a time when far, far more did. Many didn't make it to double figures even. And certainly not into mature adult life. What about this? Another child was asked whether he was willing to die. Do you know what he replied? He said, "Now I am willing, for I shall go to Christ." What about that testimony? Was he willing to die? "Now I am willing, for I shall go to Christ." And that boy is a boy who began to be deeply affected with the things of God between the ages of 2 and 3. And he died when he was about 6. Don't ever, my dear young friends, think that it's too soon for you to come to Jesus, that it's too early in life for you to become a Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ here shows the heart that he had and the heart that he continues to have for infants, for children, for younger people, quite as well as for the old ones as some of the rest of us are. And just think, the earlier you come to know the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then hopefully, the Lord willing, the longer you'll have on earth to serve Him, the longer you'll have on earth to enjoy Him, the longer you'll have on earth to worship Him, before one day He takes you to join His people in heaven's glory. If you're a child, you need to be saved from your sins. Just as if you were an adult, you need to be saved from your sins. And either way, if any of us would receive the kingdom of God, if any of us would enter that heavenly eternal kingdom, we must receive it as little children. So there is a kingdom for us to receive. It's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. There is a way for us to receive it as little children. And a brief word under the third head. There is a life for us to live once we have entered the kingdom. There is a life for us to live once we have entered the kingdom. It's quite clear from the text that it's the receiving and the entering of the kingdom which is the Saviour's great concern here. But it does invite the question, how are we actually to live day by day in the kingdom once we have received it as little children and gone in? How are we to live in the kingdom? Well, the short answer is to say that we are to live in the kingdom in exactly the same way as we received and entered the kingdom. That is to say, do you remember the seven words? Humbly, teachably, needily, freely, trustingly, wonderingly, thankfully. That's the way we receive the kingdom as little children. That's the way we enter the kingdom as little children. And dear ones, equally, that's the way we live in the kingdom as little children, God's little children. Do you remember how that very phrase, little children, is one of the regular and loveliest Bible descriptions of Christians, irrespective of age? You might become a Christian at the age of 6, entering the kingdom as a little child, and actually yourself in age being a young child. You might enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, at 95 or 102. It's not recommended that you leave it that long. You might not make 95 or 102. But if you were spared that long in life, as some are and further still, some even make it to 110, 11, don't they? Not many, but some. But the point I'm making is that if you became a Christian, if you received the kingdom of God in your 80s, in your 90s, as a centenarian, then you must still come in as a little child, and you'll live as a little child, and you'll be a little child. A little child of 102. Because you belong to the Saviour. Isn't that grand? Again, not being childish, but childlike, these features that we spoke of. Some things never change. And the Apostle John, it was a favourite letter with him. If you have a look sometime in your regular cycle of Bible reading, or perhaps even this Lord's Day afternoon, give yourself a treat and read through the first epistle of John. And you'll find there that again and again, as he wrote to the congregation, not just to those who literally were the infants and the boys and girls and the young people and the children, but just as much, you know, the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 100s, and whoever comprised the church at Ephesus to which he wrote, he called them all little children. He gathered them all up as little children. If we belong to Christ, if we belong to the church of the living God, we are little children. God's little children, in which he speaks of us in the tenderest tones, the most affectionate tones, the most enticing and appealing tones. Isn't it wonderful to be one of God's little children? However much we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we are bidden in Scripture to do and need to do, and oh, that through grace we would experience that spiritual growth at a more regular, constant and vigorous pace than some of us bemoan for ourselves, where so often we feel sort of static or even slipping back, and our daily experience almost seems to be sort of governed by O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? The evil that I wouldn't do, that I do, the good that I would do, I fail to do, and so on. But oh, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, pressing with vigor on. But however much we are granted that spiritual growth, and know the blessedness of the means of grace, public and private, yet still, we are God's little children. And that's the best thing in all the world to be. So we leave it for this morning by saying this. Oh, for grace to continue in the kingdom, as hopefully we have been given grace to begin in the kingdom as a little child, or as somebody once expressed it in verse form. And oh, that this would be our desire, the desire of our hearts this morning, my dear ones, the longing of our hearts, our individual but at the same time our united prayer as we leave the house of God this morning shortly. Make me, O Lord, a child again. So tender, frail, and small. In self, possessing nothing. And in thee, possessing all. Let's pray together.